Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study in numerology. Numerology, of course, is we're looking at the study of numbers in the Bible, the significance of numbers in the Bible. And last time we were together, we covered and we looked at the number one. Today we want to look at and study a little bit the number two. Now, in contrast with the number one, which we saw was exclusive, indivisible, independent, the number two signifies difference and divisibility. And it can also stand for strength. So let's look at the number two together. First, division. Division. I want us to turn to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1. And in verses 14 through 18. Genesis 1, verses 14 through 18 with me. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light, amen, to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the lightness from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, we see the first mention of two, amen, here in Genesis chapter 1. We see that God made two great lights in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 1. And then we saw the reason that he made them was to divide the light from darkness in verse 18 in Genesis chapter 1. Now look at also, we want to look up and look at Genesis chapter 1 again. Verses 6 and 8. Genesis 1 verses 6 and 8. We read, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." So we see on the second day of creation, God made the firmament to divide the waters. Also, now let's look up, as we're looking at the number two in connection with division, look up with me Genesis chapter 10, Genesis chapter 10, and in verse number 25, we read in Genesis 10, 25, "And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth," here it is, "divided, and his brother's name was Joktan." So we see that in the days of Peleg, there was division, amen? One of Eber's two sons was the earth divided, amen? That's right. In the days of Peleg, we see there was division. And we see one of Eber's two sons was the earth divided. So we see in that day, amen, it says, "Unto Eber was born two sons, the name was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided." So when Peleg was born in his days, that's when the earth was divided. In fact, it was, according to this verse of Scripture, the earth was one landmass, amen, until that time. Now let's look up also, again as we look at the number two in connection with division, We want to turn to the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel with me. In Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. And we want to look at verses 21 to 24. And said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God, and David my servant shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Here we see then, we have a prophetic pasture, a prophetic passage which looks forward to the restoration of the two divided kingdoms in the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. We know that the two kingdoms, amen, were divided in the day of Solomon's son when he became king. That was Rehoboam. And they have been divided ever since. Now, we want to see also, as we look at the number two in connection with division, the Word of God is divided into two testaments. Two testaments. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 with me. Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, as we turn there, we want to look at verse number 15. Hebrews 9:15. We read in the Word of God, For this cause he is the mediator, that's talking about Jesus Christ, for the New Testament, amen, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And so we have here, it mentions the New Testament, amen, and also the first testament, which would be the Old Testament, amen. Look it with me now to in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, we want to look at chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and in verses, in 2 Corinthians 3, first in chapter 6, we read, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And then in verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until that day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So again, here we talk about in verse 6, we are ministers of the New Testament, amen, not of the Old Testament. And so we see the New Testament mentioned in verse 6, and in verse 14, we have the mention of the Old Testament. And we see the Word of God is divided into two testaments. Amen. We saw that. Embracing two covenants. The first is the law being faulty. Amen. And the second, grace being better. And we see this fact, or we see that fact in Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews 8 with me. In Hebrews chapter 8, in verses 6 through 13. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant. which was established upon better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities will remember I no more. In that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So we see the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant of the law being faulty, and the second of grace being better, a better covenant. And then we see also, as we see the number two are connected with division, there are two classes of people in God's sight. For example, the saved and the lost. Look with me in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 with me. In Luke chapter 19, in verse number 10, Luke 19:10, we see Jesus says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So here, by the inference, he's come to save and to seek that which was lost. So there's two classes of people in God's sight, the saved and the lost. Also, we have the just and the wicked. The just and the wicked. And we see that in Matthew chapter 13 with me. Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, we want to look at verse number 49. So it shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked, here it is, from among the just. Sever the wicked, amen, from among the just. There are two classes of people in God's sight, the saved and the lost, the just and the wicked. And then we see also the sheep and the goat. And of course, this is in Matthew 25. And of course, this talks about the judgment of the nations just right after the tribulation and before the millennial reign of Christ, where nations will be judged, amen, according to how they treated the Jews during the tribulation. We see that the sheep nations at that judgment, those who treated Christ, treated the Jews kindly during the tribulation, will enter into the kingdom, and those that did not treat her will enter into eternal damnation. Amen. And, of course, the ones that treated Israel right are called the sheep nations, and the ones that didn't are the goat nations. Let's see that in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, we see in verse number 32, Matthew 25, verse 32, and before him shall gather, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. We also see, as we see two classes of people in God's sight, the children of God and the children of the devil. Look at in 1st Epistle of John in chapter number 3. 1st Epistle of John in chapter number 3. And in 1st John chapter 3, look at with me in verse number 10. We read 1st John 3:10, And this, the children of God are manifest, in the children of the devil. So we see two classes of people in God's sight, the children of God and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So these are some verses and examples of where the number two in the scripture is connected with division. Now we want to look at some places where it's connected with separation and strife. And of course, one of the greatest verse of scripture, rather, that talks about that is found in Amos chapter 3, the book of Amos, the prophet Amos chapter 3. It says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And of course, the answer to that is no. And we see the, we consider the strife and separation between pairs of men, Cain and Abel, for example, amen. We see that there, Abel slew Cain, amen. We see Abraham, godly Abraham, with his ungodly nephew Lot. There was strife in the land, amen. And they divided, amen. And we see that Lot ended up in Sodom as a result. And of course, there was strife between Cain and Abel, and Abel ended up killing his brother Cain over it. And then, of course, we see the strife between Ishmael and Isaac. Amen. Ishmael was born of Hagar, the Sarah's Egyptian handmaiden, when she and Abraham did not wait on God as he had promised a physical seed from Abraham and Sarah. Amen. And so what happened? We see that Sarah had her husband Abraham go into her handmaiden, the Egyptian handmaiden Hagar, and Ishmael was conceived, and then sure enough, God had promised, he promised them a son, Isaac was born, and of course there was strife between these two half-brothers, amen. And as we know, Ishmael is the descendant of the Arab nations, amen, and of course Isaac, the Jews are descendants of Isaac, and there's been strife, amen, ever since between these people. And another pair that there was strife or division was Esau and Jacob, amen. Again, Isaac had two sons with Rebekah, his wife, Esau and Jacob. We saw that Esau was a man of the field, a hunter, amen. Jacob, we see, got him to sell his birthright. Esau was the oldest one. There was strife between them, and we know part of the reason for that is because Isaac favored Esau, Rebekah favored Jacob, amen. So we see that there was strife, there's strife and division in the Bible, usually between two people, amen. And then we see Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter, he asked a question, or tells us, excuse me, in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 24, he says, "No man can serve two masters." And the reason behind that is because there's going to be strife, amen, between trying to serve God and trying to serve the world, in other words, he was saying. You can't have one foot of the world and one foot with God, amen, because there's going to be strife, amen, there's going to be constant contention, amen. You're going to either love the one, Jesus says, or hate the other. We also see, according to James chapter 4, in verse 4, we see the friend, if you're a friend of the world, the friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God. Again, it goes along with no man can serve two masters, amen. If you're a friend with the world, you're an enemy of God. You can't be a friend of God and a friend of the world. Either you're God's friend, you're God's man, you're God's woman, amen. You're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of Almighty God. Look at with me also in 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 15, the Bible tells us, love not the world. See? Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? And then we see another strife in the Bible is between the flesh, the unsaved flesh, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, amen, which has come in when you've prayed and received Christ as your personal Savior, believing that Christ died, He died for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day to save you, amen. We see then there's a battle, the Spirit, a battle between the flesh, the unsaved flesh, amen, and Spirit. Again, we're looking at how separation and strife is connected with the number two. Amen. And we see that for a fact. The Word of God tells us in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5 and verse 17, we read, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are," here it is, "contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." They're contrary one to another. They're opposites. The flesh and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Look it with me also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with me. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verses 1 and 3. We read, "And I, brethren," Paul writes to the believers at Corinth, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He could not speak to them as mature Christians, amen, as spiritual Christians, but as babes, carnal Christians. Then in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, amen. "For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" See, here's that showing again what happens with the flesh in the Spirit. If you're a carnal, a fleshly Christian, amen, there's going to be division and strife, amen, with those that are spiritual, amen. Now, we also see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47, it says, "The first man is of the earth, earthy," and of course that's Adam, referring to Adam. "The second man is the Lord from heaven." So we see the first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam, as he's referred to, or the last Adam, is from heaven. We want to note the important differences, amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. 1 Corinthians 15, first in verse 22. Here's the differences between the two men. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Let's drop down to verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam," that's Christ, "was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual." So we have one brings death, one brings life, one's a living soul, one's a quickening spirit, one's spiritual, one's natural. Then we read in verse 47, we just read before, "The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." There's another division, earth and heaven. "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Talking about right now, as Christians, we're bearing the image of Adam, the earthy. Someday, when the Lord comes to take us home, then we will bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise God for that. Again, we're looking at the number two and how it's connected with separation and strife, And then we see there are two opposing spirits in the world. Look with me. In First Epistle of John in chapter 4 with me, in verse number 6, we read, "For we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, but that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So there's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. Two opposing spirits. One of God, one of the devil. Now, we also said that two can be connected not only with division, separation, and strife, but also with strength. We see in Ecclesiastes, we are told, that two are better than one. Looking in the book of Ecclesiastes with me, in Ecclesiastes, in chapter number 4, in verses 9 and 10, we read, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." So we see that two can also be connected with strength. Two are better than ones. Look at also in evangelistic ministry, for example. Look at their strength in that. Notice how Christ sent them out in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. "And these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face in every city, place, whither he himself would come." That's why when we go out and we witness for Christ, we go door to door or whatever we do, we go out two by two, because there's strength in the two. One can lift the other up. If one gets discouraged, the other one can bring them up. Amen. They can pray together as they go house to house, and they witness for Christ. Amen. Yes, there is strength connected with two. Then we see also there's strength connected in resolving problems. And we see that in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 16. And of course that happens to deal with church discipline, amen. Matthew 18, verse 16. "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." So we see that the number two is connected with strength in resolving problems in the church. So, very briefly today, we've looked at the number two. I mean, I encourage you to go through the scriptures, get a concordance, look at the number two, and I'm sure the Holy Spirit will bring some things and to show you some things, amen, that we haven't seen here on the pastor's study. We've just skimmed the surface, really, and that's all we can really do in the time allotted, amen, in these studies on numerology. But, you know, when we come to the Word of God, amen, when we open up the Word of God, amen, we should say this to the Lord and ask Him, as it says in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Amen. So again, just to recap today, we've seen the number two is usually connected with or signifies division, divisibility, you know, separation and strife. And we saw some instances where it can be related to strength. Next time we're together, we're going to take up the number three together, amen, on the pastor's study.